What if there was a way to invest in real estate without having to constantly worry about the maintenance of your property? You see, many investors just don't like the idea of buying an old property and having to pay a fortune in repairs and renovations and maintenance. But the good news is, I found a way to avoid exactly that. Coming up. Welcome to the Think Big Real Estate Podcast, the show where I share what I'm learning about real estate sales and real estate investing to help you grow your real estate business. Today, I'm talking about new construction. But before I get into it, I just want to ask, if you're watching on the channel, make sure to like, make sure to comment. If you're listening on the podcast, rate, review, and share this with someone you think will find it useful. That's all I ask for in return. Anyways, let's get into the content. So, the first thing you need to know about new construction is that it comes at a premium, right? Basically, anything you buy new, you're gonna pay a little more for. For instance, cars. You're going to pay a lot more for a newer car than an older car. The same is true for real estate. You're going to pay a lot more for a newer home than an older home, because they have a lot more advanced technologies nowadays, a lot more heating technologies, a lot more different wiring, a lot different plumbing. Everything's just new and improved. So, but a lot of people don't know this one opportunity for investors. So, over time, the price of the new construction home will sort of will drop toward what the average price, the median home sales price is in the area. So it'll shrink that gap between what a new home costs and what the average home costs over time. This will happen over several years, depending on your area and your market, all these other factors. Usually, it'll happen in a couple years. Now, this creates a buying opportunity for investors. Because think about this. If the average price of a property in an area is $170,000, right? And, you know, the interior, let's say they have, like, the dated, like, black fridge and black stove and just really dated. And then they have, like, wood countertops, you know, those things with the stick-and-peel countertops or, like, cardboard or something. And it's just not bad, not terrible, but it's not, certainly not the best. And then you have a new construction home that over time has not become so overpriced, not so overinflated, selling for $180,000, but it has stainless steel appliances. I mean, it has stone countertops. I mean, it has tiling, backsplashed, really nice finishes, really nice bathrooms, bathtub. Everything's just top-notch compared to the area. Compared to the area, it really stands out for the quality that you're getting. And so at that point, in this example, you're getting all of those upgrades. The appliances, the roof, the fact that it's built newer in the area, has new plumbing, new electricity, it's new, everything's new. And you're getting it, in this example, only for $10,000 above what the normal asking price is, what the median home price is in the area. You're really getting a great bang for your buck over time. Now, this is, you have to wait. It's a waiting game with new construction. I mean, you could overpay, but, and like buy as soon as the home's done, but why? Ideally, you want to wait a couple years so that the gap between the in pricing between the new construction homes and the average home in the area, the pricing is not so it's not so like surprising. Like if you have a new construction home selling for $270,000 and you have an older home selling for $200,000, that's a pretty significant gap. So you want to wait until the market adjusts and everything just sort of that gap shrinks. That's the ideal time to buy. And I don't hear a lot of investors talking about that. I think a lot of investors just shy away from new construction just because they see the price tag when it's first built, but they don't think, well, what will it be worth a couple years from now? A couple years from now, the market will adjust. The market will bring the pricing of that new construction home down to what the medium home sales price is in the area. Now I'm talking single family here. I'm not talking commercial. I'm talking single family. Single family properties are priced according to similar properties, similar layout, similar beds, baths, location. They're based on similar properties on the areas. Basically, you just compare and contrast your property to similar properties in the area. That's residential single family for you. Now, and another thing, and this is really important. No one, again, it's like the land episode that I did. Just a while back. I think it was like one or two episodes back. It could have been yesterday. I don't know. But like no one takes the time to research and really dive deep because they have that initial opinion of, in that case, land. They thought it was just buy and hope. And in this case, new construction where they see the price tag initially and then they're like, nope. Not for me. And so the really important thing is to buy at the end of the month or at the end of the quarter or at the end of the year. Now, the reason why, if you're going to listen to any part of this podcast, this is the most important part. Okay? The reason you're going to buy toward the end of the month or the end of the quarter or the end of the year is because the builders set goals that they have to sell by this amount of time during the year, during the month, during the quarter. They have to sell by this time, and otherwise they don't get their bonuses. And I'm pretty sure everyone wants a nice bonus. So you're Of course, you don't know exactly what their goals are, like when they need to sell by. But you can increase your odds of buying the new construction home toward the end term of the goal. So say like they have a goal to sell in June. They have to sell by June 31st. I don't even know if there's 31 days in June. Correct me if that's. I don't even know. But anyways, the example. If you buy towards the end of that month, they are really, really incentivized to sell to you so they can get their bonus. That's why you want to buy. Even though we don't know exactly what their goal to sell, what their sell by date goal is, we can increase our chances and increase our chances of getting a good deal and then being more incentivized to sell at a discount by buying at the end of a month, a quarter, or a year where they're more likely to, well, they're more likely to close because they want to get their bonuses if they don't sell on time. And another tip for new construction is try to use the lender that the builders use. For example, say the lender, the builders use ABC Mortgage Company to go out and finance the construction of the homes, construction of the neighborhood that they're building. If you come in as a buyer, as an investor, and you say, "Hey, builders, I see you are using ABC Mortgage Company. What if I keep the money sort of in the circle, right? In the sphere, in the group. And what if instead of me as the investor going out and using a G mortgage company, I use your mortgage company? That way, your mortgage company can continue to make money from me, and I'll use it to finance the deal." So you're keeping it in that sphere that the builder has. You're keeping it in the same relationship. You're more likely, maybe because you're working with that lender that the builder already has built relationships out with, maybe, now this is not guaranteed, nothing's guaranteed, but you can certainly increase your chances of maybe working a better deal out and getting a discount because you're continuously feeding money to the mortgage company that built the new construction homes. Instead of just going and using a different mortgage company, and then the ABC mortgage company that the builder used, it's just lucked out. They're only making money on the build and the sale, whereas now if you come in and you use ABC mortgage company for the build and the sale, and then the buy, and then until you sell, you're extending, you're just giving them more business. You see, you're extending the life of the loan. That's what you're doing. That's a simple way to put it. You're extending the life of the loan. There we go. Now, of course, new construction is new, right? This means less maintenance, less repairs, less breaking. And, usually, you're not going to have to do any renovations when you buy a new construction home. So that saves you from a big headache that a lot of investors face. Not having to do reno, not having to go out and find and pick out every material, not having to pick out the flooring, not having to pick out the paint, not having to pick out the finishes, because it's already there set for you. That's a huge advantage. On top of that, you're not hiring a reno crew. You don't have to constantly check in and make sure that what needs to be done on your property, what needs to be renovated and repaired on your property, constantly checking in. You don't have to do that in new construction. And oftentimes in renovations, you'll find something. You'll find a problem that you didn't even know was there. And that'll cost even more money. Or maybe during the construction, pipe burst. You don't have the hiccups. You literally, in new construction, everything is set. You just buy and move in. You could, of course, there are different strategies. You can house hack, you can rent it out, you can probably rent it out would be better. I'm a buy and hold person, so that's why I say rent it out. But you do you. So, and one thing that I found about new construction is that typically the builders will want to cut your agent out. Now, this is pretty shady to me. Why would they want to cut the agent out? To me, it seems like they're trying to manipulate you in some way by taking away the agent, the person that represents you, the person that's on your side, fighting for you and making sure you as the investor is getting a good deal and it will just buy your side. The fact that new construction builders typically try to cut the agent out, it's a little shady to me. So you need to have an agent with you, especially when you're walking through the property and like inspecting it yourself. Have an agent there with you. They'll try to, and again, this is not every time, but I've read some things that it's more typical in new construction. And they could use you in some way. They could use you in some way. The point is, use an agent is free. If you're a buyer. If you're a seller, then you're going to be paying for the agent. Now, new construction, there's not a lot of competition. Like I said earlier, there's no one talking about it. Just like there was no one talking about land. I mean, there's no one talking about new construction. Because all they see, all investors see, is the initial price tag. They're like, oh, this is a price $25,000 above market value? Above what the area is selling for? No, thank you. And then they just walk away. And they have that instant, the instant push away just from seeing that initial price tag. But they don't think long term. But you can, because you're listening to this podcast and I'm giving you this information right now that not too many people know. No one's talking about new construction. Not too many people think long term. They don't think that in the long run, the price will adjust and you're gonna get all of these upgrades for a severe discount when the market does adjust itself and shrink that gap between new home and old home. Now, new construction, I mean, that creates such an opportunity for you. Having virtually no competition. Like, I'm hearing no one talk about new construction. It's insane. Because no one thinks long term. Now, okay, new construction. Now, these builders don't just pick up a hammer, get a couple 2x4s, and start building anywhere they want, right? This is hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line, if not millions, depending on how big the operation is. They do their research thoroughly. I'm talking materials to tiling, to the cosmetics, to where they're going to build, how many they're going to build, what the layout of each house is like. And they're building in an area. Typically, they're building in an area that they see is up and coming. And so this new construction is a good opportunity for you to take advantage of future appreciation in that area. Again, like, these guys don't just build anywhere. They do very thorough, very specific research. Now, of course, do your own research. But typically, they're built in good areas. And a good example is this is Chris Crone. I don't know if you know who Chris Crone is. He's a lease option guy, basically. He teaches real estate investing. He's big on lease options. But so he actually bought a new construction home, and in the area they were building a lot of shopping plazas, and one of them, one thing that stood out was Legoland. Yeah, of course, Legoland out of all things. But you think about it, that's going to attract a lot of families. Legoland is iconic around the world. And the fact that you have one in a new construction area, that says that there's good things to come from that area. Now, of course, research in the area yourself. Never rely on other people's numbers when it's your money on the line. Never, ever rely on that. And a good way that I found is you just type in your city, and then you type in capital, all caps, CAFR. Type in your city, then type in all caps, CAFR. It's a comprehensive annual financial report. You're going to read the financial report of the city, of the area you are looking to invest in. Now, this is good. This is good just in general. Whether you're buying new construction or you're buying a regular older property, you're looking for more profit margins. Just in general, investing in real estate, whether it be land even too, you need to look at the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Guys, this is detailed. I remember they do one. They release a new one every city, if I'm correct. Every city releases a new CAFR 6 months, within 6 months toward the end of each year. They have to do that. And guys, it's so detailed. You're going to look at things like employment, city spending. You actually get to look at where the city is spending its money. It's amazing. You're gonna even, it even went as detailed as telling you where people are employed. What are the top 10 employers in that city? That's how detailed this is. And of course, it's quite a bit of reading. But you're a real estate investor. You need to know all your numbers. You don't want to not know this and then end up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on a deal. And then in the next 10, 20 years, your area goes kaput. When you had a free option that I'm telling you right now, go do this before you buy in an area. Look at the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. It's free. You know, dedicate an hour just to read it and understand it, and it could save your, you know what. Okay, do it now. New construction, one thing about new construction is that there's typically going to be new construction in the area. So even though if your property's built, they might still be building out the rest of the area. Now, of course, no one likes the sound of jackhammers and big trucks coming by and dumping everything. No one likes that. So that's one thing you need to consider if you're buying new construction properties. Now, of course, during this time, if you plan on renting it out, you're going to have to charge less rent. I mean, at least until the construction is done. I mean, and that's the thing. You need to know when the construction will be completed before you buy the deal. Then ask questions like, well, what if this doesn't get done? Then what will happen? And ask a lot of what if questions. Be very thorough about the timeline of when the construction will be done, because that depends on how much rent you can charge, right? You want to be charging market level rent. While all this noise is going on, you're not going to get that. You know, it's a sacrifice for a short time. Hopefully short. I hope it's short. Now, if it takes 10 years to construct, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Maybe you will, but I'm not. I'm a very patient person, but not 10 years patient. No. So it's important to know how long the construction will take. Now, as for me, I don't like new construction. I don't. Even if I were to wait a couple years, till that gap between the newer homes and the older homes, or the medium sales price homes, even if I wait till that gap is shrinking and there's not so much disparity in pricing between those two, I still there's no equity. That's the thing. There's no equity. You can't buy it below market. And you know, maybe that's just me. Because I've learned real estate investing from this guy called Meet Kevin. Meet Kevin on YouTube. Great, great, amazing teacher, mentor, teacher of real estate. Just anything in real estate. You ask this guy anything, any real estate question you have, he has an answer. It's insane. Insane. And you know, what he's taught me to always buy below market deals, no matter what. So maybe that's why I don't like the idea of buying new construction homes, because I'm going to have to pay more, even if I do wait until the market adjusts. And that's a huge thing for me, because if I don't have equity in my property, well, of course, equity gets built over time as you loan pay down and amortization schedule and all that. Of course, that happens over time. But I won't get that initially. With new construction, you can't buy a property that's worth 270,000 for 200,000. You can't. I mean, you're gonna be waiting a long, long time till that happens to new construction. My gosh, I'm just not that patient. I'm just not that patient. Patient, but not. No. I want the equity built as soon as I buy the deal. Reason being is that it protects me if prices fall. We saw what happened in 08 and 09. I mean, even during the pandemic, all of us were unsure in March, April. You know, all of us didn't know what the heck was going on. And the market stalled and everything just went bad. So I want, as Meet Kevin says, a wedge. I want below market deals. So that way I just have that cushion between what I bought it at and what it's worth. I mean, it's pretty nice to have a $50,000 cushion, you know, between what I bought it at and what it's worth. That's a pretty nice feeling, and it protects me if prices fall. That's why I don't like new construction. Now, you enjoyed this episode, give me a like, a review. I have a free download in the description, 5 ways to make money from real estate with little money. I mean, I'm talking like 0% down loans, 3% down, 5% down, really how to get started in real estate investing with, I mean, very little down. And that's free. It's in the description. I also have this kit. If you're thinking about making a video podcast yourself and really building your influence and building a separate business from your real estate investing business and sort of teach what you're doing. And here's the thing with video podcasts, you can just talk. Like right now, like I have some bullet points if you're watching on the channel, and just have bullet points on my laptop right here. And I just talk. And that's the beautiful thing about podcasts and video podcasts. You just push record, say what you want, and publish, post. That's it. It's amazing. And so I have all of my gear for you to get started and to start creating a separate source of income for you, a separate business for you, in the description below. So go check that out. Anyways, thank you so much for watching on the channel. Thank you so much for listening on the podcast. And have an amazing day.